One gathered out this morning. So glad for the presence of each one here this morning. Glad that you came out to worship our Lord and Savior. A few announcements here at the beginning. First of all, I want to thank each one of you all for your prayers as Glenn and I went back. Let's continue to pray for Glenn and Marion and Regina as they're back there and they need to travel back. I'm not sure when they're coming back. I also want to thank each of you who reached out to my wife while I was gone, did things with her. I really appreciated that. I hope it doesn't have to happen too much more often, but I'm sure it will happen again. The offering today was for the school need. That was $180.85. And the offering next Sunday is for our bishop assistant. Help him out a little bit with the travel as he comes out here, as Brother Sim comes out and serves us. Just a thank you gift for him on that way. This week we have a prayer meeting, 7 o'clock, Wednesday night, and Johnny is on for to have the topic. I'm sorry I didn't give you more of a warning. I was going to look at it last Sunday and I forgot. Hopefully you can come up with something at least for 5 minutes. So, the attendance today was 32. And as far as birthdays, I don't think anybody has a birthday this week. But if you do, let me know. I don't think anybody does. I checked out the calendar, and I think everybody has a different day. As far as school, we have preschool days this week on Tuesday and on Thursday. From what I understand, it's all day long. So that's something exciting. Also, not this week, but next week is the plan for the school trip, Thursday or Friday. We will make an announcement next Sunday. Before we go into the message, I would like to do something different this morning. Since I'm here and Glenn's not, I'm not going to promise you that I'll do this every Sunday, but I'd like to invite all the children, 3, 4 years old, up to 10, 11, or 12, come up here and sit on these benches. If you feel like you're too old to be called a child, I'm not going to make that age limit. But I'd like to have a little children's meeting. So all the children come up here and sit on the benches. Why don't you come, everybody come on this side. Some of you can go on the back bench. We don't all have to squish on the front. I think you'll be able to see. All right. You all like object lessons, don't you? I always did when I was your age, because then I could remember what the lesson was supposed to be about. What do you think we can learn from this little thing right here? Do you think there's any lessons that you and I can learn from just a plain old pencil? Well, I think there is. The first lesson is, I think I have about 4 or 5 of them here. Do you think that pencil can do anything right there by itself? Is that pencil good for anything? Nope, it's not worth anything until I pick it up and begin to use it. You know what? That's just how you and I are. Until God picks us up and holds us in his hand, that's when we start to do something good. That's when we can do great things for God. But when we don't let God pick us up and use us, we can do things, but it's not going to be great things for God. Now, there's kind of 2 lessons in this. But this is just kind of a plain old pencil. When I went to school, sometimes some of the girls would bring fancy pencils. They might be white with little designs all around it, and then they had a big fancy eraser on them. This one's just plain yellow. You know what? some of us are just kind of playing on the outside. Maybe we don't have pretty hair, we think, or maybe we don't have big, strong arms. We're just kind of playing. The other thing I remember in school, sometimes I would get a pencil and I would start to write and it would break right away. And so I would have to go sharpen it again and it would break again. The inside is what counts. It doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. But it's what's on the inside is what makes a pencil work. That little piece of lead in there, that is what makes a pencil. Not the fancy designs on the outside. Maybe there's something wrong with your face. Like maybe you have a little spot like this on your face and you don't like it. It doesn't matter. It's the inside. It's the inside of you is what counts. Do people know you as a truthful person? Do people know you as a kind person? Do people know you as someone that is not selfish, that lets other people go first? Right now, this pencil is almost brand new. It's not sharpened. And for us to be useful for God, sometimes it hurts a little bit to get sharpened. He brings pain into our life, and He makes it so that we become sharp and useful. So sometimes in life, you have to go through something hard. Maybe in your situation, you did something bad, and so then you get a spanking for it. That's painful. But that is God helping you to become useful through your parents. And then, of course, on the end, we have an eraser. Sometimes we make mistakes, so we have to go back and try to erase. Now, there are certain things we can never erase. There will be scars that we have made when we're bad, but we can never erase. But the lesson is in times of life, there is times we have to make corrections. So now, the next time you go back to school, you pick up your pencil, you think about all the things you can be. When God picks you up, when people make fun of how you look, it doesn't matter if you don't look nice on the outside. It does in a way if it's something you can do about it. But if you're made the way God made you, and you don't like it, try making the inside nice. And people will remember that. Okay, you can go back to your parents. Like I said, I don't know if I'll do that every time I'm here without Glenn. This morning I was inspired to do that. Before we move into the message, let's all stand. And Brother Lloyd, would you lead us in prayer? Let's all stand and pray. All right, thank you for that. When I prepared for this message this morning, I didn't realize I was going to have a children's class. Now I'm going to continue to ask the children for help. Like I said, I wasn't planning to. I'm going to tell a story that's in the Bible. And when one of you children think you know what this story is, I want you to raise your hand and tell me what it is. It's a story about Jesus. Many years ago, there was a man sitting outside of this city called Jericho. And he had a problem.
Now I want you to tell me this man's name, to be specific. But this man was sitting there and he could not see. So he was probably kind of dirty. His hair probably was long, full of dirt. He probably did not look very nice. But as he was sitting there, he couldn't see. And he heard about this man called Jesus walking down the road, or that was coming through his town. And he sat outside of Jericho waiting. Kenton, do you think you know what I'm talking about? Who do you think I'm talking about? That's right. I'm going to preach about Bartimaeus this morning. And as he was sitting there, he heard this crowd coming along, and it kept getting noisier and noisier. And I can imagine he asked some of his friends, "What is going on? What is this crowd about?" And somebody said, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing through." And right away he began to call out. And he began to say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." If you want to, you can turn to Mark chapter 10. This is where the story is found. And I would like to draw some lessons from this little story this morning that could apply to us today. And in verse 48 it says, the people couldn't get him to hold his peace, but he cried out the more, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He began to shout, and he began to make quite a stir. And people tried to make him be quiet. I don't know what for words they said to him, but they tried to make him be quiet. And Jesus stopped and asked, "Who is this man calling?" And right away the people said, "Bartimaeus, Jesus wants to talk to you." And he jumps up and runs to Jesus. I want you to observe something. I believe this is one of the last miracles Jesus did. I should have checked my chronological Bible to be sure. But I believe this is one of the last miracles Jesus did before he went into Jerusalem. If you look at chapter 11, right at the top of my Bible, it says the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And I thought about this story. And I don't know if there's any significance in it or not, but I believe there's such a beautiful picture. One of the last miracles Jesus did before he came in and he went through the Passion weekend is he made a blind man see. And as I go through this sermon, maybe that will stick out to you more. In Luke, it also tells this story. I believe right following this story is when he met with Zacchaeus. And I believe Zacchaeus was another sinner that was blinded. Maybe not physically, but he was blinded. But he began to realize that he needed someone to help him see spiritually. So in a way, we have two stories right together of a physical blindness and a spiritual blindness. And two men being healed right before Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. What are some lessons we can learn out of this little story? First of all, I want to look at these people in verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Put yourself in these people's shoes. Let's say you're in Deming, and we're a bunch of us are in Deming together, and all of a sudden we come across, or somebody that we know begins to shout at the top of their lungs. It begins to make a scene. How would you and I respond? I had to think about that in this story. If I was one of the men that maybe led this blind man around, he began to shout and to yell, wonder if we responded the same way. Hey, be quiet. Don't make such a scene. Jesus isn't interested in you. Just be quiet. It would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? Because we don't really realize what it's like to be sitting along the road begging and cannot see. We can go on with our normal lives, but this man couldn't. He couldn't see physically. I realize there are those today that may cry out with the wrong spirit. And my mind goes to some of our Pentecostal friends. They go to church and they shout and they cry. And I don't know, I'm not here to judge whether they are right or wrong. And I'm not here advocating we need to do that in our church services. But my burden this morning is when we are working with, as God brings in people into your life and mine, and they are crying out to Jesus, we need to be careful that we don't get in the way and try to suffocate that cry as these people did in Jesus' day. God has created each one of us in a unique way, and you and I each probably have our own particular way that we cry out to Jesus. This man shouted at the top of his lungs, I believe. Some of us would not do that. We call out to God in a quiet way. But when we are walking beside those people that are crying out, are we helping them reach Jesus? Or are we telling them to hold their peace? Don't do it that way. You're approaching it in a wrong way. There are many blind people around us today, spiritually. And some of them may be right in the church with us. And I think to a certain degree, each one of us are blind people. We cannot see God fully, and it takes each other. That's the beauty of a brotherhood. We can help each other out. The world today believes that many of us need a good education in counseling, psychiatry, whatever. While I believe that kind of schooling may be helpful, it's still earthly wisdom. In James, he talks about earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. And I believe if we truly want to help people today, yes, that earthly wisdom can be helpful. But I was just talking to a man this past week, one of our ministry, and he was saying when he was a deacon, he kept track of every, in a notebook, he kept track of every need, every person that came out to him. And I think what his idea was is he was going to figure out a blueprint way he could approach every problem. And he said that when the notebook got full, he had to start another one because each need was unique in itself, and there was really no blueprint way to help people out. And so that's why I believe if we're going to help our brothers and sisters, the needy around us, we need to have a connection with God. We need to go to Him for our wisdom in leading people to Him. The world may have some good experience and they may have some good ideas for us, but still, that wisdom from God is going to surpass any problems that we run into. God has the answer for every situation. I'd like to turn to Isaiah 55. I believe I'll take the time to read the whole chapter this morning. It's not that long. It's only 13 verses, and there's so much in here. As you think about reaching out to those that are crying out for help, there's so many answers right here just in this chapter. Verse 1 of Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel. For he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I realize this chapter is speaking of the coming of Jesus, but I believe there's many principles in here, many thoughts that we can take to reach out to hurting people. We realize in the first several verses that God has the answers. Like I said before, He has an abundance of answers. Maybe you or maybe I are struggling with something. Maybe we are the blind people that are crying out for help. And this chapter is so beautiful to read. It points to Jesus. It points people to look to Him for their answers. You know, as I was thinking about this thought of going to the world for their wisdom and their education, I had to think of verses 8 and 9. God's ways and His thoughts are so much higher than ours. And as we're struggling to help somebody, or maybe we're struggling ourselves, in all reality, we only have one place to go for answers. If we're going to the world for those answers, we're going to come up short. If you're going to come to me and ask me for answers, you're going to come up short. We need to study the Bible. We need to look to God for answers. His thoughts, His ways are above ours. Notice in verse 11, I just love that verse so much. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. God's word will not come back to us empty. It will not come back to us without answers. The answers are there. We need to study for them. We can gain some experience. We can gain some understanding. But ultimately, God holds the answers for those that we are helping. If you care to, you can turn back to Mark 10. Another side of these people is their instability. And maybe I'm reading too much into this, but I believe God is looking for people. Maybe I should say it this way. If we truly want to reach out to those that are hurting and those that are blind, those that are seeking, we cannot be unstable. We have got to be at the same place all the time. Right at first, they are trying to keep this man quiet. Jesus doesn't want you. Jesus, they're pushing him back. And then all of a sudden, when Jesus actually stood still and commanded him to be called, then all of a sudden the crowd flipped the other way. Be of good comfort. He's calling you. Come, let's go to Him. And I'm sure you and I have experienced that in our lives where there's times we've talked to people, we've been friends with people, and you never knew where they were going to stand on issues. They were all over the board. You would come up to them and present something to them, and yet you were almost scared because you didn't know of the response. God is calling for us to be a stable people, to know where we stand, to be a stability to people that are reaching out, to those that are hurting. He wants us to be as stable as humans can be. Now realize we're all full of failures and that we are imperfect people, but I still believe that if we want to help and to reach out to people, we need to be stable. People need to know where we stand on the scripture and in our lives. And if your parents are school teachers this morning, it makes a big difference, I believe, in our homes and in the classrooms. When our children know where we stand, and in that we're not going to change tomorrow. Let's look at this blind man a little bit now. Make some comparisons with him and us today. And maybe I should have made two sermons out of this, because we're kind of backing up and starting over again. Believe first of all, each one of us at one time or another were blind in our sin. We could not see where we were at. We did not know what was going on around us. We were blind. And I believe there was people around that led this blind man around. And in verse 50 it says, he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. Not sure if he did that on his own or somebody led him. The second thing I would like to see, second comparison I would like to make, is sometimes it takes someone else to help us see Jesus. Even in our Christian life, I believe there is times that we cannot see our own failures and our own problems, and it takes our brother. I believe God often calls through his brother, our brothers, to help us see our shortcomings. And that's a hard thing to do. And I believe it's especially hard for men because we tend to have this pride issue that we've got things figured out. And when someone else comes and taps us on the shoulder and says, you know, I see a shortcoming here, we need to accept that. And it's very, very difficult. But as this blind man needed people to get him around, sometimes we need others to help us see our needs. Maybe I should have had this third comparison at the beginning. We need to realize who we need to go to for help. This blind man was not calling out to the Pharisees, to the high priest. He was calling out to Jesus. And he continued to call out to Jesus, and he didn't change his mind. He was focused where the answers were. He knew in his heart that Jesus had the answer. Fourth comparison kind of goes right along with the third, is his desire and his coming up short with the word. His fervent desire to see the light is what I've written down here. He called until Jesus heard. It didn't matter what his friends said. It didn't matter what other people thought. He knew it was Jesus that was going to heal him. And he did everything in his power to get a hold of Jesus. It didn't matter what the rest of the people said. It didn't matter what his friends said. That is how you and I need to be today. If there is something in our lives that we want to be freed from, if we know we're not ready to meet him, we need to fervently call out. It doesn't matter what our friends will think. It doesn't matter what the rest of the church people will think. Jesus has the answer. The fifth comparison I got out of verse 51. Actually, no, verse 51 and verse 52. Jesus asked him what he wanted done, and the blind man said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And then notice what Jesus said. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. If we want to come to Jesus this morning, we need to come in faith. And I thought about, in children's class here, I thought about doing something on faith, an object lesson, but I was afraid I would embarrass somebody too bad, and I didn't end up doing that. But it takes faith to come to Jesus. This man would not have received his sight physically if he would not have had faith. It's no different for you and I today. We need to have faith that Jesus has the answers. How is it for you this morning? Do you feel like this blind man? People are trying to suppress you, trying to make you be quiet. You're reaching out in your own way. I just want to encourage you, keep calling. Keep seeking Jesus. Don't let other people, don't let other things hold you back. I believe one of the things today is Satan uses the fear of men, the fear of each other, to stop us from reaching out to Jesus. And this morning I want to encourage you, don't stop. Even if you don't feel like you have any issues in your life, you feel like you have a good relationship with Christ, don't stop seeking. Build that connection stronger. Maybe this morning you are trying to help someone that is struggling. Don't turn to this world's books for help. It might be okay to read some of them, but ultimately you need to seek God. Spend time on your knees praying. That was a challenge that I received this week. I don't think any single one of us in this room spends too much time praying. When you're seeking answers, when you run up against something, even if it's small, why is it that we try everything else, and finally when we can't get it, we try prayer? In my life, I feel like the first thing I should try when I run into something, I should just pray about it. Instead of going through all them other steps of, well, I'll try this, and then I'll try that. And finally we get to the end of our rope and we try prayer. Why don't we try prayer first? Would not that connect us to God? In relation to helping people as they're struggling, I believe too often as humans, we just want to take it and we want to have this answer, this mold we drop that person into. This is alluded to already today. And just say, you do this, this, and this, and this is how you get out of your struggle. Listen, we need to hold people up and allow God's Spirit to work. Just as these people were trying to make this man be quiet, they were hindering, in a sense, God's work. They were trying to stop, they didn't even know it, but they were trying to stop God from doing a miracle. Do you and I do that today as we work with people? There was a thought came out this week, and I'll just say this in closing. Part of helping each other is looking at each other's gifts, not their failures. And I find in my own life, it's so easy in life to pick out people's failures. It's the natural thing you and I do. And maybe this is kind of away from the main thought, but I want to tie it in with it. If you and I focus on each other's gifts, won't that encourage each other to look to Jesus? I know just recently I've heard people complaining about another certain individual who I had very, very high respect for. And I just told that person, you know, why don't you look at the good things that man can do instead of looking at all his failures, looking at the things you don't like to see in him. And I think it'll change your perspective. I know it did in my heart and in my life. I've had people that I really struggled to appreciate, to respect. But when you stop looking at their failures and begin to look at what the gifts that God has given them, it changes your mind. This morning, I don't know each one of your hearts. I don't know if any of you are struggling. But I want this message to be an encouragement to each one of us. Wherever you're at, if you're walking beside somebody that's struggling, look to God for your answers. Spend time in prayer. And if you're struggling this morning, look to God for your answers. Spend time in prayer. Maybe we need to cut back in our work. Maybe we need to cut back in something else and just spend more time in the Word. But as we go through this life, I especially want to reach out to those of us that are trying to help our neighbors, trying to help others see Christ. Let's be very careful that we're not telling them to hold their peace, but we are encouraging them to cry out to God this morning. That's what we're here for this morning, is to help others make a connection with Christ. I believe most of us here have done that, made our connection with Christ. But let's not forget, that's our work here, to connect people with Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.